I wasn't raised in a Christian home. It's the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. It's the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of your day. It's Prophecy Friday, and we'll read Ezekiel 13 through 18. I'm calling this episode, The God of Mercy. Let's get started with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we read your word today, we pray that you would bless this time. Speak to us, Lord. Teach us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, are you ready? Let's get started. Ezekiel chapter 13. The Lord's word came to me. Human one, prophesy to Israel's prophets who prophesy from their own imaginations. Say, hear the Lord's word. The Lord God proclaims, doom to the foolish prophets who follow their own whims but see nothing. Israel, your prophets have been like jackals among ruins. You haven't gone up into the breach or reinforced the wall of the house of Israel so that it might withstand the battle on the day of the Lord. They saw worthless visions and performed deceptive divinations. Even though the Lord didn't send them, they said, this is what the Lord says, and expected their word to stand. Didn't you see worthless visions? And didn't you report deceptive divinations and say, this is what the Lord says, even though I didn't speak? Therefore, the Lord God proclaims, because you spoke worthless things and had false visions, I'm against you. This is what the Lord God says. I'll wield my power against the prophets, those seers of nothingness and diviners of lies. They won't be included in my people's council or recorded in the house of Israel's official records or enter Israel's fertile land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Without a doubt, they led my people astray, saying, peace when there was no peace, and he is building a wall, when they were the ones who laid on the plaster. Say to those who laid on the plaster that it will fall. When the flooding rains appear and I send hailstones, it will collapse and the storm winds will break it apart. The wall will certainly fall. Won't it be said about you, where is your plaster now? Therefore, the Lord God proclaims, in my fury, I will make a storm wind break out, and in my anger there will be flooding rains and hailstones in consuming wrath. I will tear down the wall on which you laid plaster. I will raise it to the ground and expose its foundation. When it falls, you will be destroyed with it, and you will know that I am the Lord. I will exhaust my fury on the wall and on those who laid plaster on it. Then I will say to you, where is the wall, and where are those who plastered it, those prophets of Israel who prophesied to Jerusalem and envisioned peace when there was no peace? This is what the Lord God says. You, human one, face the daughters of your people, those women who prophesy from their imaginations. Prophesy against them and say, the Lord God proclaims, doom to the women who sew bands on every wrist and make veils for heads of all sizes to entrap human lives. Will you ensnare my people's lives but preserve your own? When you degrade me to my people for handfuls of barley and breadcrumbs, you mislead my gullible people, and you bring about the death of those who shouldn't die and keep alive those who shouldn't live. Therefore, the Lord God proclaims, I am against the bands that you use to trap human lives. I will tear them from your arms, and I will set free the lives that you've trapped like birds. I will tear off your veils and snatch my people out of your clutches. They will be prey in your clutches no longer. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You hurt the righteous with slander. I didn't wound them, and you strengthened the hands of the wicked so that they survived without changing their evil ways. Therefore, you will no longer see empty visions or perform divinations. I will rescue my people from your clutches, and you will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 14. When some of the elders of the house of Israel came to sit in my presence, the Lord's word came to me. Human one, these men decide on their own to set up their idols, so the cause of their downfall is right in front of them. Why should I allow them to ask me anything? Therefore, speak to them and tell them, the Lord God proclaims, if anyone from the house of Israel decides on his own to set up his idols and puts the cause of his downfall right in front of him, but then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will require an answer from him through his many idols. So I'll seize the hearts of the house of Israel, whose idols have made them all strangers to me. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, the Lord God proclaims, come back, turn away from your idols and from all your detestable practices. Turn away, or anyone of the house of Israel or any immigrant in Israel who becomes estranged from me by deciding on their own to set up their idols and puts the cause of their downfall right in front of them, but then comes to the prophet to ask me something through him, I, the Lord, will require an answer. I will confront that one. I will set them up as a sign and an object lesson, and I will cut them off from my people. Then you will know that I am the Lord. As for the prophet who was seduced into speaking a word, even though it was I, the Lord, who seduced that prophet, I will use my power against him and cut him off completely from my people Israel. The prophet and the inquirer alike will bear their guilt, so that the house of Israel won't stray from me again or make themselves impure with any of their sins. They will be my people, and I will be their God. This is what the Lord God says. The Lord's word came to me. Human one, suppose a land sins against me by acting faithlessly, so that I use my power against it, break off its food supply, let famine run rampant, and eliminate both humans and animals. If these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, lived there, their lives alone would be saved because they were righteous. This is what the Lord God says. Or suppose I allow wild animals to roam through the land, and it becomes so wild that no one can live there or even travel through it on account of the wild animals. If these three men lived there, as surely as I live, proclaims the Lord God, they wouldn't be able to rescue even their sons or daughters. They alone would be rescued, but the land would become a ruin. Or suppose I bring a sword against that land and command the sword to pass through and eliminate both humans and animals. If these three men lived there, as surely as I live, proclaims the Lord God, they wouldn't be able to rescue even their sons or daughters. They alone would be rescued. Or suppose I send a plague against that land and pour out my fury on it. With great bloodshed, I would eliminate both humans and animals. If Noah, Daniel, and Job lived there, as surely as I live, proclaims the Lord God, they wouldn't be able to rescue either sons or daughters, but they would save their lives because they were righteous. The Lord God proclaims, how much more if I send all four of these terrible acts of judgment, sword, famine, wild animals, and plague, against Jerusalem to eliminate both humans and animals. Yet a few survivors will be left. Sons and daughters will be brought out to you. When you see their ways and their deeds, you will be consoled for the evil that I inflicted on Jerusalem, for all that I brought against it. Seeing their ways and their deeds will bring you some consolation, because then you will understand what I've done, and that I didn't do any of these things without cause. This is what the Lord God says. Ezekiel chapter 15. The Lord's word came to me. Human one, how is the vine's wood better than the wood of all the trees in the forest? Can you make anything useful from its wood? Can you make a peg from it and hang objects on it? If not, can it be used as firewood? Fire would consume its two ends, but its middle part would only get charred. So is it useful for anything? Look, even when it was whole, it was worthless. Now that the fire has consumed it and it is charred, it is even more useless. Therefore, the Lord God proclaims, of all the trees in the forest, I have decreed that the vine's wood is destined to be consumed by fire. So also have I decreed for those who live in Jerusalem, and I have confronted them. They may try to go out from the fire, but the fire will consume them. You will know that I am the Lord, because I confronted them. I will turn the land into a ruin, because they acted faithlessly, proclaims the Lord God. Ezekiel chapter 16. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Jerusalem. Your ancestry and birth were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. Then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, Live. I made you grow like a plant of the field. You grew and developed and entered puberty. Your breasts had formed and your hair had grown, yet you were stark naked. Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Sovereign Lord, and you became mine. I bathed you with water and washed the blood from you and put ointments on you. I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put sandals of fine leather on you. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. I adorned you with jewelry. I put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck. And I put a ring on your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. So you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were of fine linen and costly fabric and embroidered cloth. Your food was honey, olive oil, and the finest flour. You became very beautiful and rose to be a queen. And your fame spread among the nations on account of your beauty, because the splendor I had given you made your beauty perfect, declares the Sovereign Lord. But you trusted in your beauty and used your fame to become a prostitute. You lavished your favors on anyone who passed by, and your beauty became his. You took some of your garments to make gaudy high places where you carried on your prostitution. You went to him, and he possessed your beauty. You also took the fine jewelry I gave you, the jewelry made of my gold and silver, and you made for yourself male idols and engaged in prostitution with them. And you took your embroidered clothes to put on them, and you offered my oil and incense before them. Also the food I provided for you, the flour, olive oil, and honey I gave you to eat, you offered as fragrant incense before them. This is what happened, declares the Lord God. And you took your sons and daughters whom you bore to me and sacrificed them as food to the idols. Was your prostitution not enough? You slaughtered my children and sacrificed them to the idols. In all your detestable practices and your prostitution, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare, kicking about in your blood. Woe, woe to you, declares the Sovereign Lord. In addition to all your other wickedness, you built a mound for yourself and made a lofty shrine in every public square. At every street corner, you built your lofty shrines and degraded your beauty, spreading your legs with increasing promiscuity to anyone who passed by. You engaged in prostitution with the Egyptians, your neighbors with large genitals, and aroused my anger with your increasing promiscuity. So I stretched out my hand against you and reduced your territory. I gave you over to the greed of your enemies, the daughters of the Philistines, who were shocked by your lewd conduct. You engaged in prostitution with the Assyrians, too, because you were insatiable, and even after that, you were still not satisfied. Then you increased your promiscuity to include Babylonia, a land of merchants, but even with this, you were not satisfied. I am filled with fury against you, declares the Lord, when you do all these things, acting like a brazen prostitute. When you built your mounds at every street corner and made your lofty shrines in every public square, you were unlike a prostitute because you scorned payment. You adulterous wife, you prefer strangers to your own husband. All prostitutes receive gifts, but you give gifts to all your lovers, bribing them to come to you from everywhere for your illicit favors. So in your prostitution, you are the opposite of others. No one runs after you for your favors. You are the very opposite, for you give payment and none is given to you. Therefore, you prostitute, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you poured out your lust and exposed your naked body in your promiscuity with your lovers, and because of all your detestable idols, and because you gave them your children's blood, therefore I am going to gather all your lovers with whom you found pleasure, those you loved as well as those you hated. I will gather them against you from all around, and will strip you in front of them, and they will see you stark naked. I will sentence you to the punishment of women who commit adultery and who shed blood. I will bring on you the blood vengeance of my wrath and jealous anger. Then I will deliver you into the hands of your lovers, and they will tear down your mounds and destroy your lofty shrines. They will strip you of your clothes and take your fine jewelry and leave you stark naked. They will bring a mob against you who will stone you and hack you to pieces with their swords. They will burn down your houses and inflict punishment on you in the sight of many women. I will put a stop to your prostitution, and you will no longer pay your lovers. Then my wrath against you will subside, and my jealous anger will turn away from you. I will be calm and no longer angry. Because you did not remember the days of your youth, but enraged me with all these things, I will surely bring down on your head what you have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Did you not add lewdness to all your other detestable practices? Everyone who quotes Proverbs will quote this proverb about you, like mother, like daughter. You are a true daughter of your mother, who despised her husband and her children, and you are a true sister of your sisters, who despised their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. Your older sister was Samaria, who lived to the north of you with her daughters. And your younger sister, who lived to the south of you with her daughters, was Sodom. You not only followed their ways and copied their detestable practices, but in all your ways you soon became more depraved than they. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, your sister Sodom and her daughters never did what you and your daughters have done. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore I did away with them as you have seen. Samaria did not commit half the sins you did. You have done more detestable things than they, and have made your sisters seem righteous by all these things you have done. Bear your disgrace, for you have furnished some justification for your sisters. Because your sins were more vile than theirs, they appear more righteous than you. So then, be ashamed and bear your disgrace, for you have made your sisters appear righteous. However, I will restore the fortunes of Sodom and her daughters, and of Samaria and her daughters, and your fortunes along with them, so that you may bear your disgrace and be ashamed of all you have done in giving them comfort. And your sisters, Sodom with her daughters and Samaria with her daughters, will return to what they had before, and you and your daughters will return to what you were before. You would not even mention your sister Sodom in the day of your pride, before your wickedness was uncovered. Even so, you are now scorned by the daughters of Edom and all her neighbors and all the daughters of the Philistines, all those around you who despise you. You will bear the consequences of your lewdness and your detestable practices, declares the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will deal with you as you deserve, because you have despised my oath by breaking the covenant. Yet I will remember the covenant I made with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your sisters, both those who are older than you and those who are younger. I will give them to you as daughters, but not on the basis of my covenant with you. So I will establish my covenant with you, and you will know that I am the Lord. Then, when I make atonement for you for all you have done, you will remember and be ashamed, and never again open your mouth because of your humiliation, declares the Sovereign Lord. Ezekiel chapter 17. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set forth an allegory and tell it to the Israelites as a parable. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. A great eagle with powerful wings, long feathers, and full plumage of varied colors came to Lebanon. Taking hold of the top of a cedar, he broke off its topmost shoot and carried it away to a land of merchants, where he planted it in a city of traders. He took one of the seedlings of the land and put it in fertile soil. He planted it like a willow by abundant water, and it sprouted and became a low-spreading vine. Its branches turned toward him, but its roots remained under it. So it became a vine and produced branches and put out leafy boughs. But there was another great eagle with powerful wings and full plumage. The vine now sent out its roots toward him from the plot where it was planted and stretched out its branches to him for water. It had been planted in good soil by abundant water so that it would produce branches, bear fruit, and become a splendid vine. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Will it thrive? Will it not be uprooted and stripped of its fruit so that it withers? All its new growth will wither. It will not take a strong arm or many people to pull it up by the roots. It has been planted, but will it thrive? Will it not wither completely when the east wind strikes it? wither away in the plot where it grew? Then the word of the Lord came to me, Say to this rebellious people, Do you not know what these things mean? Say to them, The king of Babylon went to Jerusalem and carried off her king and her nobles, bringing them back with him to Babylon. Then he took a member of the royal family and made a treaty with him, putting him under oath. He also carried away the leading men of the land, so that the kingdom would be brought low, unable to rise again, surviving only by keeping his treaty. But the king rebelled against him by sending his envoys to Egypt to get horses and a large army. Will he succeed? Will he who does such things escape? Will he break the treaty and yet escape? As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, he shall die in Babylon, in the land of the king who put him on the throne, whose oath he despised, and whose treaty he broke. Pharaoh, with his mighty army and great horde, will be of no help to him in war, when ramps are built and siege works erected to destroy many lives. He despised the oath by breaking the covenant. Because he had given his hand in pledge, and yet did all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, As surely as I live, I will repay him for despising my oath and breaking my covenant. I will spread my net for him, and he will be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and execute judgment on him there because he was unfaithful to me. All his choice troops will fall by the sword, and the survivors will be scattered to the winds. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The parents eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For everyone belongs to me, the parent as well as the child. Both alike belong to me. The one who sins is the one who will die. Suppose there is a righteous man who does what is just and right. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife or have sexual relations with a woman during her period. He does not oppress anyone, but returns what he took in pledge for a loan. He does not commit robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He does not lend to them at interest or take a profit from them. He withholds his hand from doing wrong and judges fairly between two parties. He follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. That man is righteous. He will surely live, declares the sovereign Lord. Suppose he has a violent son who sheds blood or does any of these other things, though the father has done none of them. He eats at the mountain shrines. He defiles his neighbor's wife. He oppresses the poor and needy. He commits robbery. He does not return what he took in pledge. He looks to the idols. He does detestable things. He lends at interest and takes a profit. Will such a man live? He will not. Because he has done all these detestable things, he is to be put to death. His blood will be on his own head. But suppose this son has a son who sees all the sins his father commits, and though he sees them, he does not do such things. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife. He does not oppress anyone or require a pledge for a loan. He does not commit adultery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He withholds his hand from mistreating the poor and takes no interest or profit from them. He keeps my laws and follows my decrees. He will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live. But his father will die for his own sin because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was wrong among his people. Yet you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of the father? Since the son has done what is just and right, and has been careful to keep all my decrees, he will surely live. The one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. But if a wicked person turns away from all the sins they have committed, and keeps all my decrees, and does what is just and right, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the offenses they have committed will be remembered against them. Because of the righteous things they have done, they will live. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? But if a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked person does, will they live? None of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness they are guilty of and because of the sins they have committed, they will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, you Israelites, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die for it. Because of the sin they have committed, they will die. But if a wicked person turns away from the wickedness they have committed and does what is just and right, they will save their life. Because they consider all the offenses they have committed and turn away from them, that person will surely live. They will not die. Yet the Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, people of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then your sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Chapter 18 clarifies and even puts to rest the idea that there's such a thing as a generational curse. You see, some people believe that children are sometimes punished for the sins of their parents. This idea comes primarily, I think, from Exodus 25, which says, "You shall not bow down to idols or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." But listen to verse 20 of our chapter here, chapter 18. It says, "The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son." So this seems to clearly teach that each person is responsible for their own sin. So then what's going on? Is the Bible contradicting itself? Well, when we look at seeming contradictions in the Bible, it's critical to look at context. So what is the context in the verse from Exodus? To what is God referring? Well, let's read it again. "You shall not bow down to idols or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Well, this verse is talking about idolatry. We know that God hates idolatry, right? So does he hate it bad enough that he'll punish multiple generations because of the ancestors? No. Remember what I said several times on yesterday's episode? God does not change. So what's the answer? How do we resolve this seeming conundrum? Well, a person or a generation that practices idolatry is likely to create a culture of this behavior, isn't it? If I have an altar to a false god in my home, my children are going to be raised to accept that as normal. So when they have a family, it's more likely that they will have an altar to a false god in their home. And so it goes, from generation to generation. Each generation is responsible for their own behavior, but when they're raised in a culture that accepts sin, it's more likely that they will accept sin. But it doesn't have to be that way. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My dad was very anti-church and anti-God. He thought that it was all just a bunch of hogwash. So it could have been assumed that I would follow in his footsteps in this area, right? But God, in his infinite mercy, touched my heart and gave me the faith to believe in Jesus. There were probably 1,000 different things that I was exposed to as I grew up to bring me to the awareness that Jesus is who he said he is and that I need him in my life. So I asked Jesus to be my Savior when I was a teenager, and I spent most of the rest of my dad's life praying for him. And shortly before he died, he finally gave his heart to Jesus. But of course, he had to make that decision for himself. My salvation couldn't change him any more than his sins could condemn me. Chapter 18 ends with a confirmation that God is a God of mercy. He wants to forgive sins. He says, "Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." Beloved, I am so glad that God made a way for us to escape the consequences of our sins, aren't you? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you can do that now. He offers this gift to you right where you are, in whatever condition you are. He sees you, and no matter what is in your past, He loves you, and He died for your sins. And because He was resurrected after 3 days, which we'll be celebrating in just over a week, He showed that He has the power to forgive your sins. If you want to experience the forgiveness that He can bring, you can do that right now. Just pray this prayer that I'm about to pray. Repeat after me, either quietly to yourself or out loud. Are you ready? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I believe that you died so that I could be forgiven. Jesus, right now, I accept the gift of salvation that you offer, and I ask that you would forgive me right now. Thank you for loving me so much that you would do this for me. Help me, Lord, to live for you now. Make me the person you want me to be. I pray this in your name. Amen. Well, beloved, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. You are now a child of God. You're a new creation in Christ. Maybe you felt something when you prayed that prayer. Maybe you didn't. But the fact is that the forgiveness of God is not dependent upon our feelings. It's based solely on God's promise. Remember that. I encourage you to write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com and let me know you prayed that prayer with me. I'd like to help get you started on the right foot as you begin your walk with Jesus. Just drop me a short email, steve@lifespringmedia.com. Also, if you prayed that prayer, I would love to send you a free copy of the New Believer's Bible. It's a New Testament that has hundreds of notes in it that'll help you get a solid start in your walk with Jesus. And it's my gift to you. No strings. I'll not put you on a mailing list, nor will I share your information with anybody. Just let me know where to mail your copy when you send that email telling me that you prayed that prayer. If you have any comments or questions, call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. It's there for you. I want to hear from you. You can also comment at comment.lifespringmedia.com or you can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Also, send a comment via Boostergram. I love to get your Boostergrams. Tomorrow's Gospel Saturday, we'll read Luke 15 and 16. Speaking of Boostergrams, Brother Sean of San Pedro came in with 3 separate 5,000 sat loaves and fishes boosts for the last 3 episodes using the Fountain app. Thank you very much, Brother Sean. God bless you. And 22 Peter sent in 2 100 sat boosts, also using the Fountain app. And I thank you, 22 Peter. God bless you. If you find the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible to be a blessing in your life, would you be willing to help support the show? Please pray about that and ask the Lord what He would have you do. Then head on over to
LifeSpringMedia.com/support.
I will thank you, and I believe that God will bless you. Sunday's coming up, which is one of the days we share prayer requests and praises. Let's pray for one another, okay? If you have a need that you'd like the LifeSpring family to be praying about, or if you're praising God for something that would be an encouragement to the family, call the LifeSpring Family Hotline and tell me about it. That number again is +1-951-732-8511, or there's a form you can fill out at prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Just go there, fill it out. It's easy. Just take a couple of minutes. Tell me what you want me to know, and we'll pray for you or praise with you on the show. in today's show art. Thank you, Jason. God bless you. And thanks to Sister Denise, who does the transcripts, Michael Hainer, who does the chapters, Scott Snyder, our other artist, and Sister Brittany, who does the newsletter. If you're not signed up for the newsletter yet, go to news.lifespringmedia.com. And again, I won't share your information, and I will not spam you. And now, until tomorrow, thanks for making me a part of your day. May God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye. LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.